I'm reading from Revelation chapter 12, the first six verses. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now I choose this tonight for a subject, the sun-clothed woman. Revelation chapter 12. The question will arise in our minds, who is this sun-clothed woman? I can tell you who she is by first telling you who she is not. When I try to tell people about life, I can tell people what life is by first telling them what life is not. Jesus said that your life does not consist in the abundance of things that you may possess. Life is not material gain. Life is not wealth, it's not fame, and it's not honor. When you talk about life, we should all be deeply concerned about a life that's hid away with Christ in God. I'll tell you what life is. Life is having Jesus Christ. Life is having the life of God. Life is having the life of God. Now, who she was not. Now, there is a teaching that this sun-clothed woman was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, I want to take Scripture tonight, and I want to definitely prove some things before I'm finished. And I'm going to, first of all, tell you that she is not Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, I want to go to Leviticus chapter 12, and I'll read the first 7 verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the days of the separation, for her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purified 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. But if she bear a maid child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks as in her separation. And she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that hath borne a male or a female. Now the reason that I say that this is not Mary, and I have other scriptures that I will read. In December of 1854, Pope Pius IX made this declaration. It was decreed that Mary, the mother of God, who died, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven, should henceforth be worshipped as the Immaculate Virgin conceived and born without original sin. Now that is one of the doctrines of a church. And that's why people teach that this sun-clothed woman was Mary. Now, some things that I may say right now, you may not agree with me, but she was not Mary because Mary was born with the original sin in her like any other woman was born with sin in them. Because the Scripture teaches, and I'm going to prove a little later on, the reason I read this declaration that was under the law of how a woman, after giving birth to a man-child, she had to go through what they call purification. And I'm going to prove that Mary did exactly like any other woman would do in Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. Now, I want you to get that scripture, Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 24, dealing with this all-important subject. And I feel like that it's very important that we look at these scriptures to find out the true identity of this woman. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, when Christ was born, his mother, Mary, had to go through the same process of purification as the law taught that other women had to go through. She was not born without the original sin. They say that she had an immaculate conception in her birth, that she was born without the original sin. This is all you'll ever find about Mary. Three things that God said about her. Mary has found favor with God. She is blessed of God. And she is a virgin. She is a virgin. Now, this sun-clothed woman could not have been Mary, because I'm going to contend that Mary had to go through the law of purification, through the law of purifying, when Jesus was born, like any other woman, when their child was born. I'm going to prove tonight that Mary had to have the Holy Ghost, just like any other woman had to have the Holy Ghost. I'm going to prove that by Scripture tonight. That Mary, the mother of my blessed Redeemer, whose name was Jesus Christ, she had to have the Holy Ghost like any other woman had to have the Holy Ghost. And if she did, we're going to have it. If she did, all women will have to have the Holy Ghost. If Mary, the mother of Jesus, had the Holy Ghost, we must have the Holy Ghost. That's why I'm preaching the Holy Ghost tonight. It's a promise. It's the comforter. It's the power of God that He's placed in our lives tonight. The Holy Ghost is a new birth. I said the Holy Ghost is a new birth. Now, let me go to Acts chapter 2. Here's a scripture that has caused so much controversy. Acts chapter 2. Now, we're going to notice something here. Acts chapter 2, the first 4 verses. Now, for another text, you keep this in mind. Acts chapter 2, the first 4 verses. Now, I want to go back to the first chapter of Acts. And please write this down. Acts chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. When you read 13, you will find that Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Simon, Judas, they were in the upper room. That's verse 13. Now, 14, these all, who all? The ones that was in verse 13. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Now, these two scriptures puts the disciples, it puts the apostles, it puts them together with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, was one of the women, and the names together were about 120. There is not one scripture to prove that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was resurrected and went to heaven and is now called the Queen of Heaven. There's not one scripture to prove that tonight. We do not pray to dead saints. We do not worship dead saints. If you pray to Mary, expecting her to intercede on her son Jesus, you are wasting your time tonight. We have cut the red tape. We go straight to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We don't have to go through his mother, because that's a matter of impossibility. We go straight to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm strongly contending that the names together were about 120. Did you know that they're teaching tonight that nobody went to the upper room and received the Holy Ghost but the apostles? I put the names all together. It's Acts chapter 1, 13, 14, and the 15th verses. It puts the apostles. It puts Mary, the mother of Jesus, in this midst. And the Bible said the names together were about 120. Now then I'm going right on down to Acts chapter 2 in the first four verses. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They all who? Those that were mentioned in the chapter 1, verses 13, 14, and 15. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. They all spoke in tongues. The names together were about 120, and every one of them spoke in tongues when they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They got the same experience. Mary was a virgin. And they're teaching that Jesus is the only child that she had. Far from the truth. Jesus had brothers. Some call them half-brothers. But anyway, she had other children. Why don't people wake up to the truth? Why don't people wake up to the truth? Now, I want to turn to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now, we know these scriptures real well, most of us. And let me refer you to prophecy. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Now, 714 years before Christ was born, this prophet looked down the winding stream of time, and by divine inspiration, he simply said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. 700 years before Christ was born, the prophet prophesied that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, that means before they were married and lived together as husband and wife, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. That is, in a private manner, he was just going to put her aside and let it go at that. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. If this Bible is ever destroyed, and if certain people I know ever write another one, you know what they're going to do? They're going to change that scripture. They'll say, and she'll bring forth a Jesus and call his name son. That's the way they'd like to have it tonight. But the Bible said she'll bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. The name of the son is Jesus. Hallelujah. That's his name. And she shall bring forth a son and call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Hallelujah! That son clothed the woman is not Mary. Well, I'll get around to telling you who she is. But it's not Mary. And I think I'm doing a good job in proving that right now. Yes. Mary had to have the Holy Ghost just like everybody else had to have the Holy Ghost. Yes. Now then, this might be quite a shock. That son clothed the woman in Revelation 12 is not Mary. Number two, it's not the church. I'm a church preacher. Oh, how I love to preach on the church. The church preacher. I like that. This son clothed woman is not the church. Now, I want you to note something here. In this chapter, chapter 12, if you've never read it, you go through that chapter and you'll find 8 times the word woman is mentioned. 8 times in that chapter. Now here is a surprise. Do you know what the church is called? The church is called the Lamb's wife. In Revelation 19, his wife hath made herself ready. It's called the bride. It's called a virgin. And I've never found where the church has ever been called a woman. That expression, oh, that's a woman. It's always the bride, the Lamb's wife, or a virgin. Now, the scripture said in Revelation, you remember the other night when I was teaching on one of the 7 churches? The Bible said that woman, Jezebel, that was a Jezebel of a Jezebel. That woman, Jezebel. The Bible teaches that this false religious system that is a scarlet-colored beast, as she rode this beast into power, she's a scarlet woman. And notice carefully, she's a whore, the Bible said. And the Bible calls her a woman. She rode the beast into power. She got her religious system recognized by the ruler of the world. But this unclothed woman is not the church. 8 times the woman is mentioned in Revelation chapter 12. The bride, the church. Now notice carefully. The church is called the bride or a chaste virgin. Now let me read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and the first 2 verses. Now this is talking about the church, the bride. The church, the bride, the wife of the Lamb. The wife of the Lamb. Now notice, this is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. I would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband. In other words, through the preaching of the gospel, I have engaged you. I have brought you to a period of engagement. I have preached the gospel to you. I preached the love of Christ to you. And you have become espoused or engaged to one husband. That's the church. That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. The church has a husband. We are engaged. You know, strange what an engagement will do to some people. Some will get a little band on the finger, and others a watch. Just something to let somebody know that they've done been took. And you know what's strange? They have been right-handed all their life. But suddenly, they get left-handed. Oh. I've learned to write left-handed. Oh, yes. I'll tell you, it's so warm in this room. It's so warm in this room. And there's a lot of Christians that's engaged to Jesus. And I believe sometimes they're honestly ashamed that they have ever took His hand and promised that they would go through with Him all the way to the end of the world. That's right. That's right. Engaged to Jesus. One day we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. I said we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm not ashamed that I'm engaged to my heavenly bridegroom. There's a church. There's a husband. And I know this is narrow. It's just as narrow as anything you ever saw in all your life. The Bible's a narrow book. In fact, God's narrow. When He made the ark, He just put one door in it. Strange. Narrow. Jesus said there's only one door to the sheepfold. He said, I'm the door. God is not a God of doors. He's a God of door. The door. The door. A door. Right. He's a God of one church. Then I can say a lot of things here right now. Listen, let me ask you women a question tonight. How would you have felt on the night of the day that you got married? When your husband-to-be would have called you up and said, now, I'm going to be a few minutes late because you know I'm engaged to another woman and I've got to go by and pick her up before I pick you up. There wouldn't have been no wedding out of you. And I don't blame you. You see, this whole idea that when Christ comes again, He's going to take all the goodness out of this church and all the goodness out of this one and all the goodness out of this one and make up His bride. That's a bunch of baloney. You know what He's going to do? When He comes as the bridegroom, He's going to come to the bride that He's engaged to. A chaste virgin. a chaste virgin, the bride, hallelujah, His church, His body, His redeemed, Spirit-filled, those that has not denied His name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Hallelujah. I want to read from Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. The scriptures are very rich along this line. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Now, what did He love? The church. He gave Himself for it. The church. That He might sanctify and cleanse it. The church. With the washing of water by the Word. Here's a shocker to a lot of people. That He might present it to Himself. That He might present it to Himself. To Himself. Somebody asked me, why is He going to present it to Himself? I said, for two reasons. Reason number one, there's nobody else to present it to. And reason number two, it belongs to Him, and He's not going to give her away when He gets her up there for the marriage supper of the Lamb. In fact, quite a while ago, I spotted something down in one of the stores that I wanted for Christmas, and I hinted to everybody in my family, and nobody ever paid me no more attention than the north wind blowing. And I waited as long as I could on Christmas Eve, and I saw nobody was going to buy it. I went down and bought it myself. And I walked in. I said, I want this right here. I said, where do you get these packages wrapped? They showed me. I went back there, and I said, lady, I said, I have a package. And I said, I want the prettiest paper you have in this store put on this package. The biggest bow ribbon that you've got, I want it put on here. She said, this must be for a special person. I said, you ain't kidding, it is. She said, oh, would you want a card? I said, yes, ma'am, I want a card. I want the biggest and the prettiest card you have. She said, all right. Now, she said, what would you like on that card? I said, I'd want this on the card. From W.E. Gamlin to W.E. Gamlin. She said, I don't understand. I said, you just put on that what I tell you. From W.E. Gamlin to W.E. Gamlin. Well, she fixed it up. And that night, when everybody was in the living room and exchanging gifts, I walked in and brought mine out, and I stood in the middle of the living room, and I presented it to myself. It was mine. I bought it. The same principle with His church. He loved it. He bought it. He redeemed it. He justified it. He sanctified it. He's cleansed it with the washing of water by the Word. And when it gets up to heaven, He's going to present it to Himself, a glorious church. And He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. Here's some of my strongest argument of why the church will not go through the tribulation. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Now, if we are members of His flesh, His body, His bones, and no man yet ever hated his own flesh, how in the name of common sense can he commissioned these angels from heaven to go and pour out His wrath upon His bride-to-be, which is His own flesh, His own body, His own members. How can a man do that when Paul said, no man has ever yet hated his own flesh, but he's nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church? I'm glad I know the Lord loves me tonight. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's the mystery. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7. I'm telling you that the sun clothed woman is not Mary and is not the church. But I'll tell you in the next 5 minutes who she is. Now let's go to Revelation 19 and 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now, let's go to thought number 3. Who is the sun-clothed woman? She is not Mary. She is not the church. I believe that what we find that was on her head and under her feet will identify the woman. Notice carefully. She had the moon beneath her feet, and she had the sun and a crown on her head. Let me go back to chapter 12 again and just glance through it, and we'll see what we can find here. Revelation chapter 12. Very beautiful chapter. There appeared a great wonder or sign in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, this sun speaks of the New Covenant, its glory, its power, and its redemptive power. The moon that was beneath her feet, which is the lesser light, that has reference to the Old Testament covenant. Now, when I tell you that this woman is Israel, I believe most Bible scholars will agree with me. Can't be Mary, can't be the church. The sun-clothed woman is Israel. Hallelujah. Now, go back just a minute. Genesis chapter 37. Joseph had a dream. What did he dream? He dreamed about stars. This has reference to Israel. It's not Mary. It's not the church. The moon beneath her feet. Crown of 12 stars. There's 12 stars. 12 patriarchs, 12 tribes. Genesis 37, Joseph had the dream, and his brethren all got jealous about what was going to happen when they had to bow down to him. I'm going to prove tonight in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 6 that Israel was a married woman. You think I can prove it? Isaiah 54 and 6. Isaiah 54 and 6. I'm going to prove that Israel was a married woman. In fact, in Acts chapter 7, the people of the Old Testament were called the church in the wilderness. Acts chapter 7. The church in the wilderness. God had a church before the New Testament church came into being. But it was the church in the wilderness. The church of the tabernacle. The church of the temple, the Old Testament saints, that was the church. And God looked at it in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 6. For thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. The church of the Old Testament saints, that was the church. And Israel was married to God in the Old Testament. Right? You see, we can't get away from these things. Now, she was travailing to bring forth a child. Now, the reason that they teach that it's Mary is that Mary brought forth Jesus, the Son. And the devil tried to destroy him. But this scripture tells me that this child was caught up to God and his throne. Couldn't have been Jesus. The man-child wasn't Jesus. The woman wasn't Mary. The woman was not the church. The woman was Israel. Now you notice carefully what I read. That when she brought forth this man-child, the man-child was caught up to God and his throne. And that was a place prepared for the woman and her seed. That's a remnant. That's when the persecution of the Jews reaches its height and the devil tries to destroy them completely. But God has a place for this woman, Israel. And these that were not caught up to God and his throne. Who is the man-child? It's 144,000 Jews. That's who the man-child is. It's not Jesus Christ. All right, now. Let's go just a little bit further here and go to Revelation chapter 14 and verse 1. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 1. Now, this scene takes place in Revelation chapter 12. About the son clothed the woman, and then Revelation 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. The man-child, the 144,000 Jews, came out of Israel. Somebody says that was the church, because that was a partial rapture. How in the world could that be when the church is taken up in chapter 4? It's not the church. The woman was Israel. The man-child is the 144,000 Jews that was caught up to God in his throne. Wasn't Mary. Wasn't Jesus. And when I begin to study this thing, a lot of this I have spent hours reading and studying and praying. And I believe that is the correct answer and the correct definition of what I'm talking about tonight. But listen, my friend, the most important thing that can concern this congregation tonight is this. Are you in the bride of Jesus Christ? Have you really been born again? Have you found him to be the same yesterday, today, and forever? Tonight, are you rapture ready? Are you ready for the rapture of the church and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's lift our hands and praise him right now.